So what do you think our topic is this morning? Our topic this morning is what we talked about in Sabbath school, actually, a little bit. Our topic is on prayer. Now, we've probably heard many, many sermons on prayer. But yet, there's always room for one more sermon on prayer, isn't there? The avenue directly to God. Before we begin, I'm just going to kneel and again ask the Lord to be with us. Okay? Father in heaven, again, we can never ask you enough to draw close to us. And so this morning, again, we know you are with us. We just want to thank you for being with us. Father, be with this speaker, Lord. May you give me humility and clearness of speech and open my heart to receive your blessing, that many others here will receive that blessing as well. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And they will call. It was early morning. It was hot already. And they stood outside one of the doors of the tabernacle of that famous preacher, Charles Spurgeon. Who here has not heard of Charles Spurgeon? I don't think there's too many. You can almost imagine the anticipation they had of seeing the great preacher of their day. And, of course, this great preacher was known to be a great orator of the Word of God. And he was greatly beloved. Now, you can see these young men anticipating what the Lord was going to do there in that tabernacle. And they stood there in the heat. They were the first ones there at the door, early in the morning. When an unknown guy walked up to them, noticed them standing there and simply said, "Would you gentlemen be interested in seeing the heating plant for our tabernacle? The apparatus that builds the heat and warms our church." Now, of course, that was the farthest thing from their mind, wasn't it? That hot July morning. And so, being new to that town and to that church, they said, "Sure, we'd love to see that." And so the man led them down some steps into the basement of that building, and he threw open some doors, and they looked in, and they saw 700 people bowed before the Lord in prayer. It was Charles Spurgeon who led them down those steps and revealed to them the power of the heat that made that tabernacle alive. Amen? Prayer is the difference between what we are actually doing and what God would like to do. There's a contrast there. Seeking the Lord through intentional, heartfelt, passionate prayer is God's means to change the world one life at a time. Did you ever hear the phrase, "When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works," or some variation of that phrase. And it's true. Ron mentioned this morning in Sabbath school about our evangelistic meetings and the different programs that we have implemented and asking, have we asked God to be in it? Not that we haven't, but he just asked that question so we could think about the things that we do for God. Do we go ahead of God? Or do we allow God to go ahead of us? Or lead the way. Albert Einstein, one of the best known scientists in the world has ever known, best known perhaps for his theory on relativity, this man who so radically affected the way we think about matter and time and energy, anyone who's ever gone to high school or university knows something about Albert Einstein. He had perhaps contributed more to the unlocking of the secrets of the atom than any other person. But you know, He did say this. Somebody has to find out about prayer. Now, Albert Einstein said that. Somebody has to find out about prayer. He had spent a lifetime observing the laws of nature that govern the universe. And late in his life, he began to say things. Somebody has got to understand the nature and the power of prayer. One of Einstein's contemporaries was a man named Frank Mead. Now, Frank Mead wrote in his journal, "Prayer is the most powerful form of energy that one can generate. The influence of prayer on the human mind and body is as certain as that of the secreting glands. Prayer is a force as real as terrestrial gravity. It supplies us with a flow of sustaining power in our lives. However, personally, for me, I've come to realize in my own experience." So when I say these things, I'm talking about from my perspective, my experience, that prayer at times can seem to be the most unnatural thing that a person does. Can anyone say amen to that? Can be, can it? The most unnatural thing. We don't often hear that. But hear me out. From our childhood, from our earliest experience, our earliest days, we are taught to provide for ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to earn our own way in life, to make a living, to be self-reliant, to provide for our families, and to take care. And none of those things are wrong in and of themselves, correct? But it is not a natural experience for us to pray when we're brought up with those frames of mind. Unfortunately, even our human nature drives us to do life our own way. Just because we're born into that nature, correct? It is not natural for us to even ask others. We like to do it alone. We like to solve these things ourselves. And it always seems to be at the last minute, at the last exasperating moment, that we would ask someone to help. Becoming a follower of Jesus does not instantly cause us to become or recognize that we can be a praying person. It's then that we begin to recognize the need for prayer when we become a Christian, correct? Think about this with me for a moment. We're saved by grace, but we have to learn to live and walk in that grace, don't we? We're baptized into the body of Christ, but we must learn to live like a believer. We were created for service and partnership with God, but we must learn what it means to be a disciple and to walk the faith of Jesus. Because following in Jesus' footsteps is not like taking up any other calling in this world. Anyone can attest to that fact who has ever surrendered their life to Christ, who had, shall we say, gone down the garden path, found salvation, and now are walking in newness of life. It's not easy sometimes, is it? This salvation has reconciled, but it has brought us near. It's actually saved us. We've crossed from death to life. But it all happens because we trusted what Christ has done. And it comes to us because we've reached up with the empty hands of faith and we have prayed a prayer of repentance and confession before God. And so it's through prayer that we connect with God. It's truly amazing. Many of you know that I like doing stuff with computers. And that can be a good thing. Can be a bad thing too. Can sap your energies and, as they say, just suck the life right out of you if you allow it to. Because it can distract you from what's important. But I'm amazing that if you get on a computer, and anyone here is familiar with a computer or internet, you type in Google, anything that you want to find out. Just a few words, key words, and bang, all comes back at you. All this information that is absolutely mind-blowing. Now, we take it for granted. We just say, okay, it's there, great. There's the information for me, right at my fingertips. But that wasn't always the case, even in my day. At one time, you had to go look up an encyclopedia, you know, big old library of books. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but what I am saying, because it's amazing that there's so much information in the world and that we are connected now in ways that we never dreamed possible, correct? Does it not make sense that because this is so, that then that the creator of this universe is very keenly attuned to the heart that's in touch with him and knows its need? God knows your need. He knows what you desperately need, as I've found out. Reach up in faith and type a few prayers, if you will. God, I need you. That's it. God, I need you. You can send up a prayer to God, and he will hear. That is a comfort, isn't it? He will hear. Prayer is the source of power. Prayer is a connection with heaven. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer enables us to experience the voice of the Spirit. Prayer enables us to see what God is doing. Prayer stretches beyond what we can feel and touch and smell to what God wants us to hear. You get that? To what God wants us to hear. What he wants us to see and to know. Prayer is the greatest act of faith. In fact, it's the first act of faith that we do. When we sense that God is calling us, our response is to pray. Or it should be. Many times in our early learning, we think that we're seeking God. But in reality, when we pray, we're responding to what God is already saying in our hearts. Right? He's already calling you and me. Consider the awesome privilege we have to talk with God. I mean, think about who you are as an individual in this great big world we live in. Think about who God is and the privilege that we have to be connected with the Creator of eternity. Consider where we are, the place that we're in right now. We're seated here in these hard chairs of the Bay Roberts Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're seated here in God's church. But where we're seated in God's church, God is here. And that when we pray, we have that divine connection to heaven. Consider God's matchless charms and his character and what we have in faith. I'm reminded in the book of Hebrews, I encourage you to turn there, Hebrews chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 12 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. And so, the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, starting with verse 12, says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then," and we're all familiar with these verses, "seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, and let's say it together, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In time of need. Now, isn't that great news? Sometimes we just sort of read these texts and say, yeah, that's great. That's good news. That is good news. Great news. Because God is there. He is our high priest. He knows exactly what we need. And He's there for us. He wants us to commune with Him. Isn't that really the reason why He created us? He wants to commune with us. But it's not a one-way street, is it? He just doesn't want to speak to us. He wants us to speak to Him. Now some say, He already knows what I'm going to say before I say it. So why should I bother? That's not the point, is it? Point is, He wants that interaction. Love, agape love, is just what it is. It's a two-way communication between God and man. That's exactly what it is. The power of God in your life comes when we connect with eternity in Jesus Christ. But you know, brothers and sisters, and here we get to the crunch of the message today. Even though God wants that communication with us, there is such a thing as prayer killers. Prayer killers. And I say that because I've experienced it firsthand as well. Almost everything I'm going to mention here now, I've experienced in my own life. Prayer killers. There are things about who we are and the things that we do that can kill the desire to pray, that threaten to unplug us from the source of our strength and our help. There are experiences and thoughts that we have that can prevent us from even coming to God. Isn't that true? And then there are those things that when we're in Christ and we ignore the Holy Spirit's prompting in our life, that we get unplugged. And one of them is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin will keep you and I from coming to Christ. You know the experience. You know you've been in a situation where it was off color. You know you didn't really belong there. Or you participated in something you had no business doing, and guess what? You don't even feel like picking up your Bible anymore. Isn't that right? You don't even feel like getting on your knees anymore. Unconfessed sin has the power to zap us and takes away the desire to pray. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, come to me. Come to me. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. You and I can get it right with God right now. Right now. Right this second. You can plug right in now if you confess your sins before God. You don't need to confess your sins before this entire congregation, do you? You confess your sins to God. And where is God right now? Here. Isn't He? God is everywhere. But did we not ask God to be with us this morning? Is He not here with us today? Amen. But it's important for you and I to get on our knees and to confess our sins before God. What's keeping us from thriving in Jesus Christ, if there is anything? What's keeping us? Each one has that answer. I have a different answer than your answer. But whatever it is, let's get back to Jesus. Now, there is another prayer killer. It's called lack of faith. Lack of faith. Has everyone been given a measure of faith? Yes, absolutely. Everyone's been given a measure of faith. And what's our requirement with this measure of faith that we've been given? What do you see? Yes. What do you see when you go to, when you look at a gym? What are they doing? They're exercising, aren't they? Exercise your faith. Prayer without faith is what? Nothing, right? It is dead. Dead. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. This is James 1, 5, and 6. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Ask in faith, do not doubt. Because if you're asking and you're doubting, there's no faith. Ask and believe. Ask and believe. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. You know, we've heard the winds of doctrine all over the place. And how are we to be secure in the anchor of Christ? Christ is the anchor. But how are we to be secure? Winds of doctrine. The Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. That's when we remain firm and grounded. There's another prayer killer. Disobedience. Now, disobedience is a big one. How can the Lord bless us, or bless me, or bless you, when we're deliberately disobeying His perfect will? A clear conscience before the Lord is most precious. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Two requirements. We keep His commandments. And what else do we do? We're keeping His commandments with the power of God, right? Not on our own. Then we do what pleases God. Just two requirements. And what pleases God? Whatever's in here. Correct? That's what pleases God. And obedience is so important. And here's another one that's less seen, less out in the open, but still there. A lack of authenticity. A lack of authenticity. Big word, but we all know what it means. Of being vulnerable and true as to who we are and who we're around. Let me read you this following quote from the Pen of Inspiration. Just a short quote, but please listen. Very important. There must be no pretense in the lives of those who have so sacred and solemn a message as we have been given to bear. So let me stop there. What message have we been given to bear as a movement? What's that, Ron? Three angels' messages. But basically, and you're right, but basically it's the message that time is short. Jesus is coming back to take His people home. Get ready. Get ready. That's the message He has given to us. The world is watching Seventh Day Adventists. Did you think that? The world is watching Seventh Day Adventists? Because it knows something of their beliefs and of the high standard they have. Seventh-day Adventists have been known to have a high standard. But it's not their high standard, it is the standard of God. But what happens? Here it goes. And when it sees these people that are watching, and when it sees those who do not live up to their profession, it points at them with scorn. It points at them with scorn. God's people should now make mighty intercession to Him for help. Amen. It is the privilege of every believer. First to talk with God, and then as God's mouthpiece, so we're talking to God, we're talking to God, God's talking to us, and then we're God's mouthpiece to talk with others in order that we may have something to impart. We must daily receive light and blessing. End of quote. How important it is to be brutally honest with ourselves and with God. You don't often hear the word brutally in a sermon because it connotates something very nasty and evil. But to be brutally honest with God means opening your soul to God and allowing Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Many times we live our lives as though everything's fine when everything is not fine. Right? That happens to me, and I'm sure it's happened to some of you as well. And I'm not talking about just financial struggles or health struggles. We face things in our lives that we don't like to talk about. And maybe we shouldn't do it in public. But as we say, the heart line to God is always available. Now, there are many prayer killers: unforgiveness, wrong motives, living an unsurrendered life, having an independent spirit. And here's an illustration of independent spirit. We've heard of the word independent before in the negative light, and this goes along with that negative light. Independent spirit. In the summer of 1986, not too long ago, well, 30 years ago, that's not too long ago, is it? 30 years? In the summer of 1986, two ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died, and they were hurled into the icy waters below. News of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. It wasn't a technology problem, like radar malfunction. It wasn't a natural disaster like running into thick fog like the Titanic. Well, we won't go into the Titanic. That's another story. The cause was human stubbornness. Can you believe it? Human stubbornness. Both could have steered clear, but according to the news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. Independent spirit. I'm going to beat that guy. I'm going to beat that guy to the mark. And what happened? And souls lost their lives because of an independent spirit. Each was too proud to yield. And by the time they came to their senses, it was what? Too late. An independent spirit will do that. You can teach your children at a young age to cultivate an other-centered spirit through prayer. I'm going to give you an illustration now. I hope I can remember it all. If not, I'll have to refer to my notes, okay? It's a good way to remember how to teach your children a other-centered spirit, not a self-centered spirit, but an other-centered spirit. So what you do, you hold up your hand. Okay, I'm going to everyone do this now. Hold up your hand. Don't hold it high, just hold it up. Now, you're facing your hand outwards. Now turn your hand like this. Okay. So what's the closest finger to you now? Your thumb. Okay, thumb. We pray for mom. We pray for dad. We pray for our relatives, those who are close to us, right? Next finger is what? Your pointer finger or the index finger. The pointer finger. What do teachers do? Okay, so you pray for teachers and others who are in like profession. This one here, that there is usually your longest finger, correct? Your biggest, longest finger, or the highest finger, shall we say. We pray for our people in leadership. Pastors, conference leaders, government leaders, those type of things, those type of people. This one here, scientists know that this finger here is your weakest finger. It's your weakest finger in your hand. We pray for those who are weaker than us, those who are less fortunate, those who are in hospitals, those who have suffered affliction. This finger here is what? Your pinky finger. Okay? But this finger now is what? Farthest away from me. You pray for those you don't know. You may have just met someone on the street and walked by them. You pray for them. You may be walking down the street, putting tracks in someone's door. You pray for them. They're the farthest away from you. But it's an illustration. You get the illustration then? Good one, isn't it? But it's an illustration to teach our children and ourselves how to pray. This is how we pray. A lot of people will pray, "Oh, Lord, I'm suffering," or "I need this, I need that, and please be with me." You know, this kind of prayer, which in and of itself is okay. But God wants us to reach out. This is actually a ministry area, isn't it? Absolutely. It's probably, perhaps, the biggest ministry you could possibly ever have in your life. Amen? Amen. You know, I can pray for teachers, I can pray for leaders, I can pray for families, and I can pray for the weak. And let's not forget the people that we casually meet on the street. God's going to bring them to your attention for a purpose, isn't he? If you're in that frame of mind, especially this one, he's going to bring people to you to witness to. You don't have to do anything about it. You don't have to go looking for it. It's going to happen because God's going to bring you to them, and he's going to bring them to you. So be prepared when you pray that way. Be prepared to be a witness. And they will call upon me, and I will answer, and will say, "They are my people," and they will say, "The Lord is our God." That's taken from Zechariah. Friends, you know, if there ever was a time for you and I to be praying, I believe it is right now. We're on the verge of amazing things in our world, aren't we? Aren't we seeing amazing things in our world, even as we're here today? But we are on the verge of amazing things in our congregation as well. And none of it will matter unless we're praying forward on our knees with Jesus Christ. Amazing things will only end up being a monument to men and women if we are not praying. In fact, it will fail if God is not guiding. What does God say? And you all know this verse, I'm sure you do. "If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from" where? From heaven. He'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Sometimes we say that, we hear that phrase, heal their land, and we're thinking, okay, it's a place or it's a country. But it's not specifically that. Heal us is a land, isn't it? There may be someone here in the congregation or watching on the internet that feels ready to give up. They've had enough. They just can't take it anymore. I'll give you a story, a true story, not by me, but by Pastor Tim Goff. Now, Pastor Tim Goff is a Seventh-day Adventist pastor in the Florida Conference, and he shared this story. Chester and Kathy Hitchcock had accepted the call to follow Jesus. They were new Christians. He accepted a call to become a minister. A minister. And he shared this story with me early in our days of our undergraduate studies. Chester had some difficult decisions to make. Growing up in West Virginia, it wasn't the easiest thing to raise the funds and move into the city to get a job and pay for his education. Kathy, on the other hand, had horses. So what they decided to do was they decided to sell their horses in order to raise the money. which they did. They raised the money so they could go there and study, so Charles could study to become a pastor. Unfortunately, they couldn't sell all the horses because one of the horses they had was too old. No one wanted this horse. So they had to make the difficult decision to put this horse down. Now, this horse that they had to put down was more of a pet. It wasn't just a stable horse, shall we say. So they had to put the horse down. Going forward, just a few days to that Sabbath, they wanted to go to church. So they got ready. They got in the car. Charles put the key in the ignition. It was a standard transmission. Anyone here remember what a standard transmission is? Shift on the floor or on the wheel, like standard. Turned her on, started right away. Instantly, purred like a kitten. He goes to put it in reverse. He took the shift, you know, just took it out of reverse. Couldn't get it out of reverse. He pulled on it. He lifted up on it and pulled back. He pushed down on it and tried to pull back. He took two hands on it and tried to get out of gear. It would not get out of gear. And of course, what do you think happened to Charles? He had duties to perform in church that Sabbath. He was the Sabbath school superintendent. He was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock. And he couldn't get this car out of gear. So what do you think happened to him? Anyone want to hazard a guess? What happened to him? He got frustrated, didn't he? He got frustrated. And he got mad. And it turned from frustration to being mad to getting downright angry. So he started cursing and swearing. He lost his cool, didn't he? He lost his temper. He started cursing and swearing. And then Kathy, God love her soul, she was very quiet and meek, didn't say a word. Said, I'll go back in the house and I'll wait. She didn't say anything else, so she got out of the car. And as she got out of the car, he cursed her too. So she still didn't say anything and she went back in the house. And so Charles was left to stew in his own juices, wasn't he? So he sat there, and of course a flood of guilt came into his heart. And he said, and what do you think the devil does in those cases? You're going to study to be a minister? There's no way you can be a minister. Look what you just did. You lost your cool. You got mad. And you told your wife off while you're going to church. So what happened? Could have been two things that happened at that time. And I'll give you two examples from the Bible. Peter and Judas. Peter denied God, didn't he? He actually cursed God, didn't he? He denied God. Judas, on the other hand, he denied God too, didn't he? But what, there are two different outcomes here, right? Jesus repented, Peter repented. And after some discussion with Jesus, Peter was brought back into the fold, wasn't he? And given the power and the privilege to minister unto others. Judas didn't accept that. He went and hung himself. What do you think happened to Charles? He repented, didn't he? He wet that steering wheel with his tears. And the guilt was washed away because Jesus forgave him. He went in and he confessed profusely to his wife. And she forgave him, didn't she? And then after some time, he said, we're going to church. We're going to church. And she said, well, how are we getting there? So we're going in the car. She said, "Did you get it fixed?" He said, "No. God's going to fix this for me today because I sinned against Him. He's forgiven me. He wants us to be in church." So he goes out into the car. They go out into the car. And Kathy buckles her seatbelt in, sort of doubting a little bit. She's probably saying, "I really hope this goes into gear." So he gets in the car, starts it up again. Now, Tim, he didn't take the two hands on that shift and drag it down. You know, the shift on the floor, it's usually probably about this high, the ball on top. Instead of going on the top, he went right to the bottom. He said, "God's going to get us there." He took that, click, click, and they went to church. Miracle? It was certainly divine, wasn't it? It was certainly divine. Has anyone been there? Anyone have that happen to them? Not that same story, but you know, same situation. You lost your cool, right? You lost your cool. But you know something? The Christian walk is not about perfection, is it? The Christian walk is about being covered with Christ's perfect robe of righteousness. Right? Amen? And here's the moment of truth. It's one thing to pray for forgiveness. It's another thing to put the forgiveness to the test. It's one thing to ask God to make things right and believe that by faith in the shed blood of Christ on the cross that He has made it right. But the next step is, what are you, or what am I going to do with the transmission, shall we say? We've asked, now what do we do? Do we stay in our house and say, "Okay, God, you take that car out of reverse first, and then I'll get in the car"? That doesn't work that way, does it? He asked us to participate in that miracle. So what are we praying for? We're going to close here. Those of you that are in the crosshairs of the enemy. Now, I say those of you who are in the crosshairs of the enemy. I should have said, not those of you. Everyone is in the crosshairs of the enemy. Because we live on the enemy's territory, don't we? Christ has given His life that you might have the most exciting, the most thrilling hope that you could possibly imagine. You can have it when you receive it. And you can experience and grow in it as you claim it and test it. Just test it. That's all He asks. Don't expect one experience to see you through. You may have had a miraculous experience. But don't let that one miraculous experience guide the rest of your life. God has many more in store. Amen? Many more in store. He may test you in ways that you could not have possibly imagined. But I assure you this, that He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of salvation. That's in my own paraphrase words. Correct? Amen? Because that's what happens when a church prays. Mighty things will happen. Mighty things. Now, in closing, Ron has already mentioned some of our bulletin announcements. And I still have the bulletin. You got a bulletin there with you handy? Just want to highlight a couple of things. There is a lot that's happening in this church. There is a lot that's going to be happening in this church in the coming months ahead. We have Adventurers that's coming up. They're going to be participating every Sunday, or every second Sunday. We have a Daniel seminar that's coming in September 7th. We have women's Bible studies that are going on. We have an Avalon Regional Evangelism Rally that's happening on September 16th. We have the Shadow Empire series that's happening in our church. And when's that happening? September 29th to October 2nd. It's a weekend thing. It's in our church. That's evangelistic in nature. We have discoveries and revelation glow track distribution. That's evangelistic in nature. We're distributing those. We have lots of things on the go. And not to mention, not to leave it out, Chris Holland from It Is Written is coming in October, November. And he's going to be doing a full series of meetings in a 7-week span in 3 churches. 21 to 23 sessions in each church. I think that's pretty amazing, don't you? We need to pray for him that God will continue to give him the strength to do that. And we need to pray, be willing to help any way we can. So I want to close this message. I've gone over time. I think I always do. But I want to leave this time encouraging each and every one here. Ron, you've already done this. But each and every one here to come this Sunday at 7 o'clock. And we're going to be praying. Ron, you already indicated it's not an official prayer meeting. We're going to come. Just come and pray. You can pray silently. If you walk in, you see someone kneeling down praying, you can kneel down next to them and pray with them. Or you can go over here and just pray in your mind. You don't have to pray out loud. But just come and pray corporately. We haven't done this as a church in a very long time, have we? We want to encourage it. It's very important. God wants to move us to a specific place in this world to reach the lost and the dying. And all we got to do is look at the world around us and see that the world is falling apart, isn't it? Let us not be numb. Let us not be immune to what's going on. Because it's going to get worse. Let's come together, folks, as a church, as brothers and sisters. And visitors, again, I don't like to use the word visitors, but people who are not from this church. Come. If you're here, come. You're welcome. Anyone is welcome to come. Okay? It's very, very, very important. The Savior is waiting. Our Savior is waiting to commune with His church. All of our efforts for the Lord are meaningless if we don't come together as a movement, as a church, and ask God to be at the helm in all this. It's meaningless. Let's come together. Increase our faith, too, in the process, right? Amen? To walk in the newness of life that only Christ can give. I know I want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, and I know you do, too. Let's stand. Actually, before we stand, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we close, we know that you have given us the example. For Father, when you walk this earth, you've often communed in prayer entire night seasons to the Holy Father. Even though you were tired and afflicted, yet you gave us the example because you knew it was so important. If it's important for the Savior of mankind, it must be important for us, Lord. Father, we thank you for your Spirit today. We ask that we will connect with you as we have never done before. We ask for the power from on high to not only increase our faith, but to exercise our faith accordingly. Thank you, Father, for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen.